Blog Talk Radio.
Enhance your mind. Recharge your spirit. Awaken your soul. Enhancing Awareness Radio. Enhancing awareness with clarity.
You know, I was wondering, you know, if you could keep on, because the force has got a lot of power, and it makes me feel like that. It makes me feel like that.
Just run.
All right. Royalty. Royalty, 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 you guys. Hope you like that, right? never can go wrong with Michael Jackson. Never can go wrong. Shout out to the ancestor, the living ancestor, I think. Who knows? But shout out to him, him and Prince. If you notice, I've been using him and Prince interchangeably, right, within this series, guys. I'm going to close out the series today. I enjoyed this series. I have a lot of goodies coming up. And I don't know, I have a burning need to be more interactive as far as pulling guests in and interviewing guests and talking about topics that are, you know, more mainstream. So, yeah, I plan on having that coming up possibly this summer or even next season. No, next season, the fall. Yeah, because I have a lot on the calendar, so it has to be fall. So anyway, some good stuff. I see Enhancing Awareness Radio growing in such a way. you know, back on the scene. So, all right, guys. Brother Wisdom, as you guys know, I love using Brother Wisdom. Shout out to him. He talks about building, guys, about how we have to rebuild and build this right from the ground, from ground zero, okay? And I was listening to somebody, I was watching Greenleaf, and she was talking about rebuilding the church, right? If any of you guys watch Greenleaf. These are spiritual things that happen in these series, you guys, even though many look at it as entertainment, but no, really. Like, if you look at it, that's kind of like what we're going through on a cosmic level, having to rebuild because it's failing, you guys. And it's for good reasons, because sometimes we have to start over in order to, you know what I mean? So what I mean by this is, We prior to the system being flourished, if you will, you know, there were so many great things that we knew how to do. And Brother Wilson is going to describe one of them, you guys. And then we're just going to hop. There's another one from him that I want to play. And then we're going to just hop into the lecture, because I'm going to see how much we can fit into this, being that this is going to be the last day of the series. So in this whole entire series, guys, I pointed out, you know, from starters about the things that go on in the shadows as far as the sacrificing for organ that our own families, you know, put people up for collateral. You know, I just kind of pointed that out, you know what I mean? Truth is stranger than fiction, right? Who knows, okay? But there's definitely something going on, deals being made between these entities and, you know, a lot of things that are happening, a lot of wicked shit that goes on, you know, and that's not how it's supposed to go, y'all. And many people have been getting away with it for so long, you know what I'm saying? I had made a post, you know, this is cosmic order. You know, it seems like every hidden hand is starting to now be revealed. You know what I mean? So, it's, you know, I love everybody, right? And, you know, my nerve is that for us to be more careful, because playing dangerous cosmic games like that, even on a lower level, you know, we have to think about our people that come, you know, that are not even born yet. You know, what about them? You know, they're paying for things that you guys, decision and moves that you guys make, you know what I'm saying, out of, you know, these selfish gains that, you know, being rich and buying, you know, buy land and, you know what I'm saying, but what did you have to do, you know, the blood money. So anyway, I pointed that out, and then we got into mental illness. Then we got into shadow work. I think we're now, like, at a shadow work point in the lecture. I played that before, guys, if you guys want to know what shadow work is. I think many people play in the shadows, but they get stuck in the shadows, you know what I'm saying? And they don't really heal. You know, we have a lot of our women that I'm finding, you guys, you know, I had a this approach about women where I was angry. I get it. It's like things has happened to you guys in the shadows that you guys really, some most don't know how to heal from. I mean, it's too heavy or it's too dark. One lady told me out of her mouth that, you know, Keith, I went into that space and I just had to come out. And she went back to her husband and back to, you know, chaos. And she said it was just too dark. She couldn't do it. So, and I'm not even going to be the one to even express that I understand how women feel when it comes to healing their deepest, darkest secrets. You know what I mean? But I do know that a good idea is to start somewhere. That's it. I mean, that's all I can say on that. But let's listen to this, and then we get into the lecture. Shout out to Rod Hayes and the little sisters. All the video credits, guys, are going to be in the show notes. Please be very clear that Enhancing Awareness Radio is like one big classroom where I enjoy to network everybody together. So you guys go like and subscribe to their channels and all of that stuff. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, sharing information and just, you know, kind of networking is what Enhancing Awareness Radio is all about, you guys. I enjoy pulling lectures from different people that I admire, you know, using their material, not in a way to gain clout, because I don't give a fuck about clout, but in a way to educate and turn people on, you know, to other people. You know what I mean? So I like to see all of us win, okay? So the Enhancing Awareness Radio is one big classroom that, you know, networks a lot of the educators together, right? All right, guys. Hold on, because I thought I was ready. Wait.
We have the most beautiful gardens you could ever imagine. And we had gardens. I mean, when we say gardens, I'm not just talking about vegetables. All right? I'm not talking about vegetables. I'm talking about we have flower gardens. And our flower gardens were symbolic of planetary alignment. Star system alignment, our flower gardens were the most beautiful flower gardens. I mean, when you're talking about botany, all right, you know, botany is, you know, those deal with flowers and other plants and such. Our people were the best in botany. And we taught these factors botany. We really did. All right. Now we were the ones who were already dealing with what you call genetic splicing, because yes, our people were the very first. All right, especially us here in Atlantis, we were the very first in dealing with genetic splicing of plants, and we knew how to make plants more beautiful. So we would splice the seed of one flower with the seed of another flower to create what you call a hybrid flower, all right? And this is something that we were deep into, and we had fields. I mean, we could go for miles with all kind of beautiful gardens that just was so freaking stunning. And then when we took it to the air, we come back down, and we say, hey, you need to do it this way here, you need to do it that way there. And we would literally create the garden. We would go to the air and see how the garden was supposed to be created. And like I said, we would go back down and give instructions. Okay, we got to take it this way, take it that way, take it this way, take it that way. But we were deep into botany. We were deep into plant and flower. And like I said, this was something that was a natural. I mean, this is a part of building and creating and designing and structuring, all right? Because we were changing the frequency. You know, each flower has its own frequency, all right? So you take a bunch of petunias and you take those petunias and you put them in one place, and then you take you some lilies and you put them in another place, and you take you some chrysanthemums. I mean, it's just we were really, really deep into gardening, and this is something that we got to get back into. So many of our people talk about, and these factions are trying to take over in the garden. Brothers and sisters, you got to understand that these beings want to take over, all right? The first thing we did wrong was talk the motherfuckers, because when they came over here to fight, because they wanted to get the resources, and we allowed them to settle. We allowed them to settle, and that's when we fucked up, when we allowed them to settle. In the meantime, they were growing all types of clones and preparing clones, but taught them. And that was our very first mistake, the mistake of our forefathers. You guys see the motherfuckers who came to fight against us. They create this fake-ass peace treaty. That's number one. They create this fake-ass peace treaty, all right? And we go and agree to this peace treaty, and then what do? They show their true colors. They show their asses after the peace treaty, all right? And they showed us how much they hate us. They showed us how much they didn't like us. And for some reason, you know, for the life of everything, I can't understand why our people just couldn't see that. Why couldn't we see that? Why are we still blind-eyed to such a notion, all right? Why are we still blind-eyed, all right? As you can see, the sun is out. The sun is shining bright, and the car lights are on. Usually the car lights are really off. And the reason why the car lights are on is because it's dark energy. Dark energy, the cars are detecting the darkness in the atmosphere. So the lights are coming on while the sun is out. This is why the lights are coming on everywhere, because while the sun is out, because the computers in the car are detecting dark energy. All right? So those who have the automatic lights that come on automatically, like my car here, had automatic lights that come on. I see a lot of cars, and I was like, it's the sun is out. It's bright. It's a crystal sun, but it's literally pushing out dark energy. All right, and that's why the lights are on. Your car lights are on when you turn them on, because the cars are detecting dark energy. It's important that we understand the importance of us rebuilding and recreating gardens. Like here in Detroit, you brothers and sisters here in Detroit, yeah, I'm building the pyramids, but I'm ready to build some gardens too. You brothers and sisters here in Detroit, hey, we got all these vacant lots. We can create the most beautiful flower gardens ever, all right? Number one, this realm is 100% tropical. There's nothing about this realm when you're talking about multiple seasons. That's the biggest lie they told. It's all about them spraying the sky, which we're going to do away with that shit very soon. It's all about them spraying the sky, creating a season that's not supposed to be. All right? Because our realm is tropical, we were able to have some of the most powerful flowers ever. And those what you call exotic flowers, those are some of the flowers that we had genetically spliced to create, because these exotic flowers, they gave off a scent. You got to remember, the scent is the frequency of the flower. And we would go around those flowers, and I mean, they literally would shift the algorithms of our collective bodies. All right, because every time we would, that scent would go, it'd be like, wow, it just charged us up. So you may see areas where you see trees growing, and you may see trees and say, wait, these trees are only seen as far as South America. No, this whole realm is tropical. Remember that. And this is what we got to get back to, get everything back to the tropical state.
this is why we talk about going back, going deeper into the spirit realm. The deeper we go into the spirit realm, the more powerful we become, and the more powerful we become, the more weaker the system becomes. So we must have to, we must charge ourselves up, all right? Every time, when you go into your state of meditation, you start pulling all this powerful, crazy energy into your body, you're literally shifting the algorithms of their system, all right? Because you're pulling the energy into you. But when after May 14th, it's going to be completely different. We're going to watch. We're going to watch this shit fall. But as this energy comes up, it's going to be coming into us. And the energy is literally, as it's coming up and going counterclockwise, it's going to be pulling energy. Excuse me, pulling energy from their system and putting the energy into us, and into the trees, and into the water, and into the grass, excuse me, into the flowers, into the dirt, the soil and all. I mean, this is what's going to be happening as this energy begins to go counterclockwise. It's returning everything back to where it's supposed to be, all right? But, yes, I just want to talk about how the beautiful flowers that we created, the flower gardens, you know. And like I said, we were the master botanists, all right? You know, there's never, these Saxons created this whole thing, well, you can plant after frost. What do you mean after frost? After you get through creating the frost? Because from the Arctic Circle all the way down to Antarctica, you got to, we'll say arc. Arc means energy, all right? That's one thing. Arc means energy. So you say the Arctic Circle. The Arctic Circle. Arc is an energy. All right, just like when you talk about Lucifer, Lucifer is that arc of energy that's within us, that Luciferian energy that's within us. There's nothing about no devil and Satan and all that bullshit that these dumbass Saxons gave us. All right, so when you talk about arc, you talk about that arc of light, that arc of power. So when you say Antarctica, you're talking about the lore, not the lore, it's just that it was an arc of energy. So you have to remember that our realm is a circle, all right? Our realm is a circle. So you have the center of the circle, which is Antarctica. Let me see if I can find a circle in here. All right. So our realm is a circle. And this is the Arctic Circle right here, all right? This is the Arctic Circle. And you talk about Antarctica, so you have that arc of energy going from here to here, and then spreading around, all right? So it's like that arc of energy, and that is the arc of energy that just literally just went all the way around the realm, all right? And this is why we had what you call the aurora borealis across the entire realm, because this is that arc of energy that went from one place all the way around, all right? So this is the Arctic Circle, the very center of the realm, and it just did this right here. Hit those arcs. All right, it's arc. This we tell the Arctic Circle, the Arctic. So these sections want us to think that when you talk about the Arctic Circle, you're talking about, oh, it's extremely cold and the temperature is 80 degrees below zero and da 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 da. And, you know, the lies that they tell, and they create the temperature in the area because they need you to believe that this shit is naturally cold when this entire planet is not cold at all. So we have flowers everywhere, and these flowers, we never have to worry about these flowers dying because it's coming to the winter time, all right? Because when you're dealing with winter, the true winter deals with extremely high temperatures. The true winter has nothing to do with cold temperatures. And these Saxons, they're the ones who make it cold. All right, they lie to us about everything. They lie to us about our heritage. They lie to us about our land. They lie to us about our history. They literally rewrote history. They rewrote everything. They lied about everything, brothers and sisters. I mean, these are some fucking liars, all of them. You don't believe none of this shit, anything, nothing. You know, sometimes I see that night god, what's that, 33, whatever his name is, and he say, oh, this is for entertainment purposes only. And I'm like, wow. So he already letting you know it's part truth and the rest of it lies. So you take take truth and you mix it up with lies, and the whole motherfucking thing is a goddamn lie. That's the whole thing it is. You know, the whole thing is a fucking lie. You mix truth and lie together, it's a lie. So that night, guys, 333 or whatever it is on YouTube, the guy lies. He literally lies. I mean, I'm looking into this. I'm like, why is this soulless ass motherfucker up here trying to tell us about our history? And this is the importance of us, you know, getting to our history. And us making these flower gardens was a part of our history. The most beautiful. So you guys, you brothers and sisters who watch this, you live in the city of Detroit, we got fields and fields and fields of nothing but land. And nobody's going to buy this because the land belongs to us. Literally, mother is returning the land to us, brothers and sisters. All these houses being torn down, they're not being done haphazardly. This shit belongs to us. So we gotta pull ourselves into a higher state of mind so that we can take back what belongs to us. And how do we take that back? Through the spirit realm. All right? Through the spirit realm. We're the spiritual warriors. We're the beings who got the absolute power of everything. All right? But yes, we had the most beautiful, the most powerful flower gardens you could ever imagine. I mean, it was phenomenal. Phenomenal. I mean, something that you were like, wow, look at this. Wow, look at that. I mean, that's the way we were. We literally had this, oh my goodness, beautiful. And they were set up in a certain way to where we could walk through paths, and we can enjoy the scent, we can enjoy the view, and we can enjoy the luster of the colors and the beauty and the life of the garden. And as we walked through the garden, it gave us life. And it's like it awakened us, all right? So there's so much that we've fallen away from. And this is where we must return to, this ancient, the old ways, the ancient ways, because there's no other way to go. But like we said, we're not supposed to have no four seasons. This is why we need to get back into the spirit realm. We talked about voodoo. We talked about sorcery, hoodoo. We talked about witchcraft. We talked about wizardry. You know, we talked a little about this because these are just different levels of technology that we can link into. All right, that's when you start going to the Jedi stage. You start going into the stage of the Sith. You know, the Sith lords. You know, you gotta understand the different areas of power. When you talk about the Dukes and the Duchess and the Knights and the Jedi's, and I mean, you gotta understand the different positions. And we were all deep into technology. And when you start dealing with nature and botany and the flowers and all that, those are just different levels of technology that we literally flowed on. All right, that we literally, I mean, it was, the technology is so freaking vast on our realm. All right, there's the technology these sections are talking about is all designed because they're trying to protect themselves. Like, I was on a group call and brother was talking about President Rule or whatever, 13603, when I finally read it. It was about them creating a superior defense system to fight against the Brotherhood when they come. That's all that was about, you know, H.R. 13603, you know, and they wanted to, they want to create a higher technology. They want to create a technology that they feel is superior to the Brotherhood. All right, that's the technology that they're talking about. The technology that we dealt with was dealing with nature, all right? And yes, we did have vessels that floated off, that literally levitated off the ground, that ran on magnetic energy, photon energy. We knew how to operate in these areas, which means that we have to get back into operating in these areas, all right? So, you know, that's why we talked about getting them to, you know, using the copper and the gold and the silver, true silver, real copper, real gold, putting around our wrists, putting around our ankles, putting around our pineal gland, our head, where our pineal gland and the crown chakra is, and all. You know, this is something that's important. But the gardens that we had, all right, what they call evergreens. You know, the holly trees. I mean, extremely powerful gardens that we had, brothers and sisters. I mean, this is, we were the master botanists, and this is what we got to get back to. So I'm going to be building this other pyramid, but then I want to get into some gardening as well. And you brothers and sisters, there's so many different levels of technology, okay? So I'll catch you guys later. All right?
All power to the most powerful, the lesser angel, the human chaos, right? We've been having that. Chaos is change. Chaos is everything. That's all you all.
I love that because it's very important to get past how we remember ourselves. You know what I mean? If we really think about it, guys, when we think about slavery, that why is it that slavery is the first thing that we go back to? You know what I mean? So now, why is it that slavery is the first thing that is talked about when it comes to the history of things? You know what I mean? So, I'm not sure what's going on, but now my YouTube is frozen. Yep, now my YouTube is frozen. So, I'm sorry, y'all. Yeah, let me find the song real quick. Because I think some interference is about to mess up my podcast. How convenient. How convenient. Yep. All of a sudden, y'all, now it's not working properly. All right. All right, guys, I'll be right back.
Brothers and sisters of the celestial energy, it's Brother Wisdom. Okay, we're going to talk about algorithms. Explain what algorithms are. That message that was yesterday, someone asked what is algorithms, and I gave them the definition of it. Algorithms is a process of a set of rules to be followed in calculations or in other problem-solving operations. Okay, I'll say it again. Algorithms is a process of set rules to be followed in calculations or in other problem-solving operations. So, talking about algorithms, you're talking about mathematical equations. In order to calculate something, it takes a mathematical process. You must understand that we had a set rules to follow before the invasion of our planet. And our algorithms was a nature algorithm where we built nature from the ground. We cared for nature. We didn't destroy nature. At the same time, we protected nature to the best of our abilities until, you know, the ambush with our own people right here in our own universe. And we've already talked about that in a totally different discussion, you know, with the Andromedans and the Galactic Federation. Algorithms are important to understand because we being organic machines, even no matter what so-called race, no matter what species, we're all organic machines, whether you're original intelligence or artificial intelligence. And we all run on algorithms. Algorithms are based upon the thought process. Therefore, you think, therefore you do. Okay? Let's understand that algorithms play an extremely important role in everything that we do. If you're out of balance, then your algorithms are going to be out of balance, which means that you won't be able to compute or do things properly because your everything is out of balance. Your spirit is out of balance. Your soul is out of balance. Your program is completely, you know, whacked. So we must understand that we have the sole ability to control our algorithms. After the fall, there was a great flash that happened on the planet, and they showed you that great flash on Men in Black. They told you that. They showed you that flash. And, you know, they said after a certain amount of time, that flash was going to wear off. And some people did remember some things even after the flash. Well, it's been, you know, well over 400 years since that great flash happened, where we had literally lost our memories of who we are, and now we're gaining that back because we're learning to go within ourselves. Because we have made the decision to go within ourselves, our algorithms have changed from one type of algorithmic equation to a different one, which means now you're awakened. Now you are seeing things in a totally different light. You're seeing things in a totally different manner. And you're understanding things in a much deeper sense, instead of just seeing things on the surface. And this is what this system, these beings here on our planet, the reptilians and the archons and the Tataris and all that, you know, they're primitive. They're extremely primitive because their algorithmic programs are very frail and shallow. So they implemented a what you call government program. And this government program was designed to make sure that these original people fall in line, which means that our algorithms were only to think on the level that these beings want us to think. We couldn't think higher. And for such a long time, we were, you know, in this mess. We were in this rut. You know, we were thinking like them, you know, thinking that everyone is the same people, and God made everybody, and da-da-da-da-da, you know, at first they were dividing themselves against us, and then when they said, hey, you know what, we can really, really mess these people up, let's not divide ourselves anymore, let's say we're going to integrate. You got to understand the word integrate. This is a calculation, it's a word that deals with integers, calculations. So they threw off our algorithmic process, where we did everything to keep the balance of nature. We didn't have vehicles that rode on the ground, because we knew if we rode on the ground, that would cause damage to nature. So we had vehicles that travel over the surface of the planet. We didn't have vehicles that went on the water. We have vehicles that travel over the surface of the water because we want to keep the water clean. All right? This is our algorithmic programs that we follow. We are all organic machines. In the midst of the fall, we fell asleep. And we began to live according to the methods of beings who really have no foundation in anything, and they want they desired for us to build a world for them on our own planet. And I remember during the time of the war, you know, this is what they call it, the 100-year war. During the time of the 100-year war, they were destroying our structures that we had, everything that we had, they were destroying them. So you got to understand that our algorithmic equations that we followed with building these structures were that of a motherboard. Where do you think they get all the tall buildings from? Where do you think they get all that from? They get it from how we originally created everything. These tall structures were designed to put energy into the atmosphere. It wasn't for money. It wasn't for business. It wasn't to make ourselves more powerful than the other brother or sister. We did this because we were in balance. That's why we built those tall structures, and we built them out of wood, we built them out of crystals, we built them out of metals. Someone asked, "Say, how what happened to all the crystal cities?" And they stole when these beings, these so-called white folk, these orcs, these mankind beings, however you want to call it, Caucasians, whatever, how you want to call it, when they invaded the Lyra Galaxy, now that was a 12 Stargate of Lyra, and they went into the Lyrians, or what you call the Thundercats, all right? Like, you've seen the Thundercats? Yeah, those are Lyrians. What they did was they stole a technology from them that was designed to wipe out an entire area at one time. All right, it was a type of laser technology that they had that they took from them. Then they destroyed the 12th Stargate using that same technology. And as they made it to our planet, a lot of our areas, you know, a lot of where you see deserts are, those are a lot of crystal cities. All right? And that technology just literally wiped everything clean. So this threw the planet out of balance, because these things, these structures have been here for, you know, if you want to call it trillions, actually beyond trillions. These, I mean, like I said, nanigans, decillions. I mean, these structures have been here from the beginning. And they destroyed everything so that it can throw us off. And this is a war that was going on in our own people. Within our own universe were fighting against us because they were jealous of us. Why? Why? I still ask that question today. Why would you team up with these beings, these reptilians and Chitauris and Archon, the Archonians and you know the Nakals, and you know why? Why would you team up with them? Why? Is it because that we were making this planet a universal power station, but we were making it for everyone in the universe? In this universe, we were making it for everyone. So, what happened when they destroyed everything? It threw off our algorithms, and then they recreated a new algorithm, okay? They recreated a new algorithm for us to follow. Now, the thing about it is, we could have changed it, but our memories were wiped. We didn't know who we were. We literally became soldiers for them, loving them. Few of us was awakened, and they wanted to fight back. Some of us actually went to war, but we only went to war because we didn't want to keep suffering what they were doing, so we went to war to fight against them, and then made agreements with them because we were still fast asleep. You know, we're still in that knowledge loss, that information gap. So our algorithms, the way we computed things had changed. And now we're at this point now within this lifetime, where we can say we have the right to change our algorithms at any given time, make them as complex as we want to make them. All right. Like I said, the structures that we built mimicked a motherboard. What you see, a motherboard. We created a planetary motherboard, a motherboard system, where these structures, these multidimensional structures, were emitting highly radioactive frequencies and energies into the atmosphere, which fed our bodies. You know, that's why we didn't eat much. You know, that's why we didn't sleep much. You know, we didn't do all that stuff. But after the fall, a lot of things changed. So the only way that we're going to reset, I'm sorry, not reset. The only way that we're going to make our algorithms even more complex, then we're going to have to start creating and building, taking a whole new level. You know, we're already thinking on a higher mindset. They can't understand our thoughts. Right now, even a lot of the messages that I give, you know, they try to decipher the messages, and I later on I hear them, you know, using some of the same words that I use, because they don't know. They came here to shut everything down. They created a government program. A government program is a mind control program that is designed to make original people of a planet think like the virus. The government program is a virus designed to keep the original people in a LUT. And we fell for that. We fell for it. We didn't know. But now we know. And guess what? The government program is shut down, but so many of our people are still asleep in this program. They think it's still alive. It's not. DC is shut down. Pentagon shut down. Yeah. Queen's Palace shut down. Vatican shut down. A lot of places shut down. Which means that the system that they created has fallen, and they're still trying to keep it alive as much as they can, because they need the people to believe in their algorithmic program, this money program. You know, that's why I posted about on the YouTube community channel. You know, I said that this business and money program is an obsolete program that was tried thousands and thousands of years ago, the destined universe. And they came and took this thing right here. It was a pilot program. And they took this and you know, they used it to try to change us. When you pick up that dollar, look at the back of that dollar. No matter what, it was a brand new 20 or brand new 10, whatever. It's got algorithmic programs in it. It's got programs written into it. All right? All those little bright lights and bright yellow and all that, those are different parts of the program. So we as a people have the right and the power to rewrite our algorithmic program, which means that we don't have to live according to their system. I've always said, use this money that they're giving you to create weapons to fight against them. How do you create weapons? You build structures, and the structures have to be in the design of motherboards. Which means that you're going to have to dig in the ground and put copper and steel and wood and metal, all kind of things, and, you know, and crystals, and you have to be really creative with what you're doing. We have the ability, we have the right. It's a universal right to change our algorithms. We're organic machines. We don't have to live according to their standards. You know, that's why we got all this mess going on right now, because, you know, their system has fallen. Their system has fallen. You know, the money program only lasted 200 calendar years. And that's why they're getting off they're doing their damnedest to get off the planet as fast as they can, because when it all falls, they're not going to have anything to make themselves appear powerful. So they come and destroy a whole planet, then go to another planet and want to live in peace with, in harmony with nature. The fuck? I don't understand that. That's all right. I'm not even talk about that planet. I'm not going to even talk about it. I'm not going to say one word. But you got to understand that when we shift our algorithms, we shift everything on the planet. That's why, you know, went through that video talking about, you know, becoming one with the cosmos. When you go into meditation and you start linking into yourself, you're beginning to change your algorithms. All right? And what did it say? The algorithms is a process of set rules. So basically, you create your own rules that you to follow. And it's done in certain calculations. Those calculations are thoughts. All right? Every thought counts. Every thought counts. And that's old saying, every thought counts. Every thought is a calculation. All right? So, highly important that you understand this, my people, because We have to change the algorithmic process of this whole system. And the way we do it is we build and create, which the energy comes from nature, and it comes into us, it makes us more powerful, and therefore our algorithms now become even more complex. They become more complex than the fall, than what it was before the fall. So that's the whole key point. It's a mind thing, it's a mental thing. Every thought counts. These are calculations. How can you calculate certain things? How are you gonna, you know, say, this is gonna happen, this is gonna happen, this is gonna, and you know it's gonna happen because, you know, it's like, you know, within you, that intuition within you, you already know this is what's gonna happen. So that's how you figure that, those calculations. So, you know, just wanted to talk about algorithms and how we have the right and the ability to change our algorithms. All right. It says, or other problem solving operations. So we have a problem. All right. And in order to operate on a higher level outside of meditating, what we want to do, create. This is problem solving thing. We can't get out there and hack and slash and popping and shooting and all that. We can't do what they do. All right, now we're thinking our algorithms are on their level. We must have a higher, more complex algorithmic equations because their algorithms are primitive. We are cosmic dust, and our algorithms are supposed to be so complex that it can't even be processed. That's why they're still trying to figure out how our brains work. So our brains are different from their brains. Our brains are bigger than their brains. Our brains have a different hue and texture than their brains. And they're trying to figure out, you know, what is it? What is it? And it's like they just can't figure it out. They just can't figure it out. This is all about the algorithmic equations because they are not designed to think that high. When their creators designed them, their creators designed them just what they are now. To be slaves. To be used. It's just what it is. So I just pass this on to you guys, you know, understand this, that the algorithms are your thought processes. And, you know, just like I said, you know, yesterday, you know, when they created the AI, you know, they created the algorithms, you know, they created the set of rules that they wanted AI to follow. All right. And this artificial intelligence, they followed the rules a little bit and they realized that the rules didn't work. So they created their own rules and then they made their rules highly complex. And this is what we must do. We see their rules are not working. We keep doing the same thing over and over and over again, which means that we have to start something else, something different, and make our rules more complex. A change has got to happen. Like I say, you know, I know a change is going to come. I know a change is going to come. It's just not going to fall out of the sky. We got to be that change. We got to be the ones to make that change. We got to be the ones to literally, you know, say, hey, you know, something is wrong. And we've got to fix it. And we can't fix it using their methods. We can't fix it using their current system. You talk about system, you're talking about programs. Got to remember, we are organic machines. Everything is a program out here. So we must change the way we think in order for things to happen. Remember, we always talk about, you know, say, hey, what we think and how we think is what shapes the world, not them. Not the money that they use and the armies and the governments, which is no longer active, or their other role play methods. It's not them. We who are the awakened, our thoughts must be extremely high and complex thoughts. No matter what we're doing, we know we're trying to survive this system. We know we got to go to work. We know we got to do this. And we know we got to pay their bills, pay the bills or whatever. You know, we know this. You go through the process and you use it to your advantage. Therefore, as you pay that bill, you're thinking on a higher thought, linking it to the mind of the cosmos. I take this money and I lay a virus within it that it may make their system fall in. You know, these are the thoughts. Because we're the higher beings on the planet. Their system is a primitive system. It has no power. They have no power. It's us that gives them power. It's us that feeds them this whatever they created. So it's up to us to change the way we think. Must think on a higher level. Must think. Like we said before, I am the cosmos. I am nature. I am everything, you know. But then, besides saying that, as these thoughts are going, must also, you know, be in the mode of, I got to create. I got to build. I got to make something. From this thought, I got to make something, you know. And this is when you begin to create and design. And now, as you begin to create and design, your thoughts are now emanating energies into the atmosphere. The algorithms of your thoughts link it to the algorithms of nature. Therefore, you become the ruler of this whole situation as the original people. Okay? Let's pass that on to you guys. Hope this is enough for you to go off of, so you can understand what is going on and the process that we got to take with this system, so that we can move back into higher realms. All right, algorithms all about. I'm gonna give the definition one more time. Algorithms, a process of a set of rules to be followed in calculations or other problem-solving operations. So they gave us a set of rules. They wanted us to follow their government rule, their government program, which that government program had no foundation. And it didn't link into nature. It didn't link into the cosmos. It didn't link into the universe. It didn't link into the galaxy. All right? That government program had no foundation. It was just a belief program. That's all it was. And they feel like they advanced by doing that, but in reality they didn't advance at all. They're still in the same shape they were when they first created it. It's a virus program designed to offset the balance of nature of a people of a planet. Alright so this is the message I'm giving to you guys. Hope you guys take this, run with it. Alright and as usual, I'll catch you guys later. All power to the multi-chakra celestial angelic beings. May chaos reign with you forever and ever, ever. Much power to you all.
All right, guys. Algorithm. Very, very, very important, you guys. All right, so we're going to go ahead and jump right into the lecture, you guys, and finish this off. This is only part one that we were able to do. Only part one. But there's like an hour left of this one, and then part two, you guys, will be linked in the show notes for your own, you know, leisure for you to, you know, continue the research if you like. But yeah, let's go ahead and finish this out.
Might be quick. But once you know, I just treat it like shit, stepped on, kicked to the side, treat it like the black sheep, the outcast. Hell, last pick, the best is secure, but the motherfucker don't never want to play. That motherfucker is the strongest motherfucker. If he's the strongest motherfucker, they're going to give him all of this shit that the other people don't want to do.
Listen. Arena,
talk about it.
I'm here for it. Damn. It's real out here in these streets.
No, it really is real, you know, and it's important that
she got teacher energy coming in heavy over here.
Right. No, wait, Brother Rod, let me tell you. She Debo on everything and everybody. Like, I swear, everything about her, Look, she be the one that when we drive up, and I'm the one that always talk, right? But then she the one that make everybody make me talk. But then we ride up, and I'll be like, they close. She be like, well, she like, don't see if they close. I'm like, I ain't trying to go outside. She'll run, hey,
This is what you got to know about Blue. This is what you have to know about Blue. She's a bridge builder. Woo. At the highest level.
Mm-hmm.
You're talking about somebody that knows how to connect people and mm-hmm. is committed to the mission, like does not go into any mission within his life without completely committing to it and manifesting at the highest level. This is my, like, twin, my soul sister, you know, and we've been on this journey, and I'm so grateful for spirits like her because what she showed me was the sweetness within the divine feminine, you know, with experiencing life in its hardships, but still being able to be sweet and kind. And in her interactions with people, and not be sure.
I'm going to give y'all the same description for Tuki, because when she brought up that she just like Tuki, but Tuki got a good heart. Tuki got a heart of gold.
Yeah.
But he can
right.
beat your motherfucking ass, too.
Yeah.
Right.
For real.
Right.
For
now,
real.
The first thing she said is she called her a bridge builder. This becomes important because she flipped me a wind talking sign. So the bridge builders are those who work with the iron on the scaffold. They call them Skywalkers. Tuki is the king of the Skywalker tribe. Mm-hmm. Skywalker tribes are those who used to live in the treetops before they chopped all our trees down. Right? And those work with the metal. The whole village is on top of trees. Whole pit. And the Skywalkers' clans came from the trees onto the land to fight in the Seminole Wars. This is how we got backdoored. They backdoored us with the Seminole Wars. Now watch what happened. You know the Pueblo village disappeared. All these different villages just disappeared because the whole village went to go fight in Florida in the Seminole Wars. Once we was fighting in the Seminole Wars, we was fighting the Spanish, the conquistadors. The English bought New Orleans from the French. Once they bought New Orleans from the French, they said that all these empty villages, they must have abandoned the land. Since they abandoned the land and we hold the protectorate right from the treaty, we're going to say, well, we just going to govern the land until they can figure it out. So they claim that we abandoned everything. That's what they've been using to hold their power over here. But now, when we point out the fact that ain't nobody abandoned nothing. We went to fight you motherfuckers in Florida. In the elephant trunk, motherfuckers. Where Big Mama blow that smile out of nose.
Mm. Can I just say this? And this is why I'm breaking down with Mr. Tanika. You know Tanika is Seminole. You know that, brother. Because you was just told that this is why I'm about to start crying with her. Because we know who we are. We know who we are.
It's happening so quick. For real.
Anybody, go back and watch Avatar. Avatar was a documentary, okay? You know, they put it in our press because they had to tell us, right? But Avatar, you know, I'm a good speaker as far as knowing what real shit is and knowing what fabric. Well, Avatar, you know, probably fabricated, whatever, you know, as far as some aspects of it. But what's another one? The Matrix, the movie, you know, the documentaries, okay? But go back and watch Avatar, you guys, with a different perspective, right? That was the card for May, perspective. But Avatar, guys, Skywalker, Avatar.
Right, this is the breakthrough. When you know who you are, you honor it. And you fight people to be who you are, not be a clown.
And then,
oh, my God, Tanika.
Well, I gotta tell y'all. So he just really ran down my family lineage, right? And my grandfather transitioned my mother's father's
because this is the lineage that you're speaking of. But you're also speaking of the cross between the lineage of my mother, my father's people, because that's where blue came. Blue came from my daddy.
Yep.
The Seminoles is my mama, and I love trees. Like, I just posted a picture and really navigating in a lot of all of this transition. But my grandfather, my mama, daddy. He passed away when I was younger. So a lot of my communions between learning about my family lineage is not something that I get to, like, direct family member have these conversations until I went into specific prayer with my great-grandparents and my grandparents around knowing our story and understanding where we truly come from. I lay it down in prayers. In 2020 with my grandfather, and then last year for my birthday, I got to meet our cousin who has the records of our people. Tracy got to go and witness them sharing, my cousin sharing our family story with us after I left Virginia from being in the water where ended up in the waters to do a celebration called Monumental Reckoning for our people that have been in the water. So as I boldly, Afro-Indigenous, when people look at me and they're like, you exotic, I'm like, what the fuck do that mean?
Thank you.
We divine beings at the highest. We are creators. You know, what are you talking about? You know what I'm saying?
In subscribing to doing my ancestral work and sharing with other people how powerful it is and how you can unlock access to things that you think that you would never have access to, I'm living proof. My grandfather done brought my cousin back around full circle. You feel me? Proclaiming and declaring that mental health is not going to take our family down. They diagnosed my mother's mother and said that she was not adequate to take care of my mother, my auntie, and my uncle. And you feel me, that was just going to be the narrative for our family. For you to say to my son that you here to break generational curses, I'm living proof.
Yep. Right.
Ma'am.
Now, let me.
On Wednesday, we doing a Say They Name Ancestry Acknowledgement in our community in San Francisco, because we must understand that it is important for us to still honor our relationships with those that have passed on and not be weakened by their transition, because they got the ultimate promotion.
And it's really an opportunity. And as I always say, this is an opportunity for us to really manifest what we truly want to see. As I was listening in one of your lectures earlier, Brother Rod, as those who are here to clean it up.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It is an opportunity to get that direct guidance from those who are giving us access,
mm-hmm.
you know what I'm saying,
Remember.
To that. And we got to keep those relationships. And I heard you speaking about that. So if you don't mind touching on that, Brother Rod.
I'm going to have you bring that question back in a minute, but I wanted to point something out. When you flip the bridge, and Tuki said, go back to the bridge, I said, you flipped me a wind talker message. And I went to the tribes that went to go fight in the Seminole Wars.
Mm-hmm.
And I started talking about the trees. Then when I got done, she was able to go through her family and follow what I was saying. That's how you know a wind talker message, the level of accuracy.
Come on.
Because when you give me the knock, which was the bridge is the San Francisco bridge.
Hey.
Right.
Hey.
The San Francisco bridge on the West Coast is a knockback to the Queens Bridge in New York. So
So this is it's a zigzag flip across the land. Because remember, we went to Florida with the Seminoles already.
Right. And then they traveled to Texas and then to Mexico.
So then when you get done going back over all of the message, then she come back to confirm. Right. The confirmation is her. I never had a conversation with her to know. I just know
never.
The culture and the message that I'm getting from the chief when he say, go back to the bridge. Okay. Right. So now I got to give you some references. If you go to this movie called The Great Wall, with Matt Damon, I think, is in it. And you can see the girls just jumping off the bridge dressed in the blue. Those are skywalkers in Asia. Tuki is the king of that tribe, too. That's why when you look for the origin of the name Crip, you say he was named the Crip by the old Asian man. The old Asian man is actually a description of the guys that came through, and they said the big one, he crip, crooked man. The crooked man is the old, right? And this is Big Tookie knocking across the landmass in order to get the message out to the people that they come.
You ready for this?
I stay with.
my mama people is also from the Philippines, and they from the mountains. And I had a reading done for my 37th birthday, and the elder said to me, she said, your people are from the mountains and they medicine people.
Okay, now watch this. The tribes, all of us in our community, know somebody in the family with their middle name Lee, or they got a double first name with Lee. Like, I got an auntie on my mother's side named Birdie Lee.
Right.
My uncle named Henry Lee, my father named Arthur Lee. All of the ones with Lee, it goes back to the ancient agreement between the tribes. This goes back to Tuki being the king of the blue out of Asia. Mm-hmm. To the Americas on the West Coast, right? So when you tie the tribes together, these are the knots.
Come on.
So the leaves, right? Like, I got a cousin named Bobby Lee. That's the honor of old covenant that was made so that we can find each other under
right.
the cloak of the invasion.
Come on, man. Come on.
Look,
it's getting heavy in here, so I don't want to leave our brothers and sisters out that's in the chat. Just want to truly acknowledge, like, thank y'all so much for being with us on this journey, right, where knowledge, wisdom, and information is truly being shared from an authentic place.
Mm-hmm.
Right. You know, and I'm a share with y'all. I have some issues, technology issues, even posting our flyer.
Me too. Boom.
It kept glitching, and it kept pausing, and I kept saying, you're not going to interfere with what's mm-hmm. happening.
Remember when you were at my house? Remember when you were at my house and you drove up? What did I tell you? You were like, dude, I said, sis, I got to keep on shutting my phone down. I got to restart my phone. And I called Dila like 15 minutes beforehand and was like, yo, Dila, whether we realize this or not, you know, and she was like, I know. I said, I know you know, but still, we don't have to have this conversation, you know.
Listen, like you said, we doing the work. So we doing the energetic work. And that I was definitely over here doing my work because we definitely felt the energy because we manifesting at the highest level. Literally a week ago, my sister put me on the interview that he was doing with Brother Rich, right? I followed them, and now a week later, we are on here having a panel discussion with him. This is the power of manifestation, and we truly in alignment with what you're, the work that you're doing, you can manifest at the highest level. This is not anything to try to show any braggery or nothing about. This is us showing y'all the power that we have, you know, as a community when we're manifesting. You
but
know what I'm saying?
It's also intergenerational ability, because that's the thing that we share, Brother Rod, in our with our tribe. Like, you know, yeah, I don't mind putting my age out, but I'm the eldest. Other sisters that are of this tribe, I'm 48. And so I try to, you know, we try to work on the different levels. Look at this.
Right.
We work on these levels where we have it, where I know my expertise as a mother, because I have a 26-year-old, so I know what I'm supposed to do, and I know that, well, I was raised in a Kemetic community 100%, but a Native, you know, not Native, but an American Indian community too. Very much like the Brother Turtle Gang, you know, plain clothes, but know everything about who I am and been raised with, you know? And so, you know, just knowing that, you know, it's just like, it's just been an amazing thing to be able to navigate through the world. And I just want to say this just before I stop real quick, just that I think that Tanika needed to hear what she heard from you. It was really, really important, because she is our bridge. We really need it. We need, like, there's so many ways that we wish we could compensate each other on a deeper level. We know we do it every day by talking to each other, by raising each other's children, by creating an environment, this environment that we are in right now that you have just, you know, just been amazing. This environment has been cultivated because of our love, first for ourselves, our ability to love each other, you know, not just each other, but love other people. And we love the people that we trust each other enough to know that we're going to be guided to help each other. So that's why I'm in love. He knows that if he has the ability, and I'm proud to say that I'm part of his gatekeeper, he's saying, yes, get away from me, because he knows, not just because we're women, because we got strong men in our tribe too. And we know that we're going to get them. We the ones that say, yeah, we'll kill that motherfucker. You know, he know I'm like this. I'm behind me right now. He already know I'll shank that motherfucker. I ain't got no problem. You know what I'm saying? So that's because, you know, so we need to see the balance. And I just want to throw this out there. This is my question, because, like, we talked about suicide, and since we've been talking about mental health, you know, my father is the person in my life that committed suicide. It'll be 2 years on the 29th of this month that he transcended. He took his life. My father was a fourth-degree don in Kendo. That's why in the background you see my room, Japanese room. I got my father's stuff all in the back. My mother was a warrior, so I grew up, you know, I'm the daughter of a warrior. I'm like the Mulan, the black Mulan, or I say black because it's the grand, like the black Mulan, paint her brown. But I just, with that suicide thing, I know transitioning, people have different ways of thinking. For me, when he transitioned, I was 100% free with it, where I the only reason why we're able to do this, I don't have any regrets, I don't have any sorrow. And he came to me in life while I was living. It wasn't about having to wait for him to die and then him coming to me later and giving me epiphanies, because he gave me everything that I needed while he was living. He lived to 70. 70.
Right.
What's his number?
70. That's GL. Go. He picked his time to go.
Yes, he did.
Now, a lot of people think that that's suicide.
I don't.
In this case, especially when he gave the caveat about him being a warrior and trained in the Kendo.
Yes, yeah, exactly. And he had prostate cancer, so, you know, he just, no one knew.
He's not going to go out shriveled up.
Exactly.
He want to leave as strong as he was when y'all knew him in his strength. He didn't want to be off stage, foes, shriveled up, in the bed, ridden, can't cold it out. He don't want y'all to see him that way.
Mm-hmm. Not at all. And I want to share that I have identified with when they surrender themselves, right? When they surrender to being complete versus saying suicide, because suicide has a completely different definition and martyr to it.
Yeah, it's just a motive.
Connotation and it has really, it's negative. And I know that for me, my father didn't commit suicide because he had done something awful on this planet against humanity. He did it because it was his choice.
There's a difference. Remember Don Cornelius? So, and he had all that stuff wrong with him at the end.
Uh-huh.
And he had told the people that he was going to kill himself, and they tried to talk him out of it. He was just talking me out of it. Y'all can take all my guns, they don't matter. He said, because I'm not going to be an invalid and can't take care of myself and have to depend on somebody else to do it for me. And he gave a whole rational explanation before he killed himself, or before he checked out, I should say, of why he was checking out on his own terms. Another person that done that is Phyllis Hines.
He did.
He gave the entire and complete rundown.
Yep, she did.
On why she was checking out. Now,
my brother did too. Like, truly, if people were paying attention to the signs, like, you know, he told everybody to watch this movie called The Hollow. You know, he was like, everybody, y'all all need to watch The Hollow. You know, this was a cartoon. He always was like, look, if you want to know the truth, they hide all the bullshit in the cartoon, you know. And so, anyway.
They put the truth in the arena where you can see it. They don't have to tell you what it means. They don't have to tell you that it's true. They can tell you that it's falsehood. And tell you the truth in the fiction novel.
I want to get to some of these questions, comments in our chat. Parents and grandparents were born in the West Indies. How do you suggest we started learning and digging into our lineage besides family encounters and stories? Well, let me tell you, the way I got started was putting down them prayers with my ancestors and asking them to, like, bring forth our narrative, like, bring forth our stories. And here comes a full circle calendar year where a cousin that I hadn't seen for 10 years, almost 9 to 10 years, last year, 2021, was standing at the altar together.
Right.
And I would say, you know, I say that also, you know, for people, listen to your family. You know, usually that family story, you know, that's that story. When people, you listen to everything else, you believe everything else. So when people talk about, well, you know, grandmama was from, just ask where your people from. So somebody earlier in the comments was saying about how it's expensive to be like, when I was saying something about, you know, being mixed, being about something, and somebody was like, you know, what you mixed with, you know, instead of asking people, like, where are you from? Where are your people from? You know,
well, then you know what I was mixed with.
Sometimes
people
don't have.
They used to ask.
He said they used to ask him what he was mixed with.
I tell people I'm mixed with slavery, and then I can say what you mixed with. So I know who I am. Ask me what my people
tell. I always tell them I'm mixed with a little bit of kick ass and a little bit of leave me the fuck alone.
Okay, that's why I say slavery. And most black people will be like, I'll be like, I know where my people from. I'm Muscogee, Cree, Cherokee, and Mohawk.
Mm-hmm. But for the people that sometimes get cut off from the family relationships because of adoption, because of, you know, losing connection with their families, there requires a very deep spiritual intentionality about plugging back in when you have physically been cut off. And then when you feel like you've been spiritually cut off, but if you've been sold the lie that many of our people have been sold in terms of how to tap in, then you find yourself in a place of confusion. And I am here to say I hadn't met any of my family members outside of my mother's brother and sister from my mother's father
who now I know that John Horst was one of the most
You know, guys, she's right about that, because I, too, the same way, you know, a lot of separation, as I was telling you on yesterday in the podcast, there was a lot of separation due to whatever reason, power struggles, you know, however, whatever happened. But, you know, you can connect spiritually. You know, your ancestors will start to reveal themselves to you on a spiritual level. You know what I mean? I mean, it's real, y'all. So, to anyone, don't be discouraged if you feel, you know, estranged from the family on a physical aspect part. You can definitely connect with the ancestors who love and appreciate you on a spiritual level. I'm a witness to that.
Separated soldiers that fought in the Seminole War is my direct lineage.
Right.
But I didn't talk to my cousin before I laid down in prayer.
You said play with John Horst?
John Horst.
Okay, so John, according to the text, John is the one that the Christ loved. Pay attention to that. Called wind riders, right? And they were the ones who sanctioned the Vikings to ride the land. That's nomad. They call them Vikings today. But they used to ride horses back in the day. And even they came to fight in the Seminole War. That's why they call them Seminole. Seminole, it's like saying potpourri.
Right.
All mixed up.
Right.
Right. Because all of the tribes, we had dark-skinned tribes, light-skinned tribes. We had motherfuckers came from the Philippines. We had motherfuckers came from the South Pacific Islands, Tonga, Samoa. That's how all of the wrestling families got over here. Peter Mazia family. That's how they got over here fighting in the Seminole Wars. But they kept their family tradition to keep the family together, because at the end, they had to be able to say, hey, we've been over here fighting in these goddamn wars with y'all. Don't forget us.
Right.
So Rocky Johnson, who was one of us, married his wife, who was from the Pacific Islands. She was the daughter of High Chief Peter Mazia, right? But the Rock only got one side tattooed with the tribal chieftain, because only his mother line can sanction him from Samoa. His father line got to sanction him from over here.
Yeah.
So his tattoos on the other side, whenever he get them, it's going to be entirely different than, unlike his cousins, the Usos and Roman Reigns got them on both sides. That means they got both family rights from the motherland and the fatherland to stand at the chief.
Yeah, I just got to tell you dinner.
You know, all of that stuff means something. When you talk about the islands coming from the Pacific Islands or coming from the Central American islands like that, you still win talking. Listen to the wind tell you what's going on. You're going to have an actual attraction to people that vibe on your clan frequency. Right? When you find everybody that you find yourself introducing yourself to, all of them chalk, it's a good chance you're wrapping up your tribe.
Exactly.
You know, but we don't remember that part of our culture, because they caught us practicing it, they murder us. You know, so now we're at the point now where all of the murder game is over with. You know, that's as good as they can. So bring it on if you want to play. Make my motherfucking day. Right? So the whole thing now is to switch from the gangbang to the brain bang, which means switching from the firearm to the mental arm. Right, so that means that you have to dig back into the culture enough where you can remember how to translate the message, like when she brought up the bridge.
Right.
Now, she gave me 3 knocks on the bridge, but I only flipped 2 bridges. I flipped the San Francisco Bridge and the Queens Bridge, but the 3rd bridge is in Southern Florida that carries us to the Keys. That's the bridge over troubled water.
Yes.
And because the troubled waters is salt water, and salt waters is tears.
Mm.
And
come straight out
troubled water.
Yep.
So they, what they did is, during the Trail of Tears, they was knocking the ones that looked like us out of the entourage.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Killing us. We
they,
couldn't even
think
if we had
it
was killing us.
Well, some of them they didn't kill. Because we still have.
But if we claimed it, but if I know if we claimed us, if we claimed where we were, it was easier to get us.
Yeah. So what they did, where they made their mistake, is they left Big Mama with the $5 Indians.
Mm-hmm.
And Big Mama made deals with the daughters of the $5 Indians because over here, when the shit flipped, it's matriarchy rule.
Mm-hmm.
It ain't about the woman being better than the man. It ain't about the man being weaker than the woman. But it's about women raise families with the children first.
Yes.
Men fight wars first. You want to raise a productive future, you go back to the matriarchy and all of the needs of the children is met. You get rid of most of the psychosis that fade away at that point. Most of our mental illnesses is manufactured by the system we under. It's not because we're inherently mentally weak or we mentally disturbed. It's because they're teaching us something that we're trying to force ourselves to accept is not part of the reality that we're supposed to be in.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
So all of these things tied. So the three bridges, it's a knock from the three sisters. The three, y'all, not.
And we've been knocking.
And so, Big Mama say it ain't complete until she got a four-corner shuffle.
Huh.
So she had to throw a Y up in here with the X. And the Y is the question, and the question's been answered. Where's the three bridges that represent the three sisters? That's the wind talking message. Right? So y'all represent the three sisters who was knocking for the three bridges.
On the tape, on the
Wait, can I ask a question about the three sisters? Because even in the Greek time, you know, Greek mythology, they have like, what do they call this? I forgot the name of the terminology, but there's always the three witches that held all the magic. You know,
The three witches in Greek is a derogatory reference to the three sisters we're talking.
Okay. That's what I was wondering.
Yeah.
I was wondering that.
And that's this is moon. It's the three phases of the moon. The fourth phase is the dark phase. That's Big Mama.
Mm-hmm.
The dark mother. Right? So you got the maiden, the mother, the old crone, and then you got Big Mama.
Mm-hmm.
Big Mama is so old that she's able to have a whole bunch of Big Mamas under her direct instructions.
Yeah.
Right. So then she becomes the dark mother. She becomes the one who dresses in all black because she represents prime creator. They flip the nuns' outfits. The nuns are supposed to all have on white, and the high priestess, what they call, they would sit in the pope seat, right, whose name would be called Madani in, from the Greek culture. But from African culture, she would be called Isis, right, in Egypt, or Aset.
Right.
And this is the seat that the sit is suspended above the pope. He can't sit in it.
Mm-hmm.
They won't leave it sitting on the ground so a man don't accidentally sit in it and fuck everything up.
Right.
Because his testicles got an energy signature that is incompatible with that chair.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So if you sit his ass in there, the gig is up, the game is over, everybody lose. Big Mama coming home to clean this motherfucker up in the worst way. So that's why they got the seat sit 30 feet over the pole. I ain't just look.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and the bitch that's been ruling in ISIS seat, this bitch, she lives under the Vatican.
Yeah.
Talk about it.
And she used to live under the back mother and took her head. So sent her back to where she's supposed to be.
Wow. Okay. That's giving me a lot of insight, especially on the three witches. You know what I'm saying? Because that once you said that just made perfect sense. because everything is foolish. That's one thing I was having a conversation with someone yesterday. I was like, I, growing up with only knowing, always like the base of most of my stuff is chemistry. My father was one of those people who, even if he got a degree, UC Davis for Afro-American history in 1976. So I was born in 74. So my whole entire life was has been a science experiment. I was four talking about, you know, Mansa Musa, Maligana, Sangai. I knew all about that.
So you just gave me a win knock from Larry Hoover and Big Tiki together because you brought up 76, the revolutionary spirit. 74 is a GD knock.
You said it's a what?
GD knock.
GD knock.
G is the seventh letter, four is D is the fourth letter.
Okay.
Right. But all they're telling us is that we right on point, we got everything within the sight.
Right.
So now we got to remember at Big Mama House, we all vice lords, no matter what color we wear. We all go from our colors to black and gold.
I'm at Big Mama House right now.
I know. No, for real, she is.
You see them.
You see that soul? Look, check that soul, but not the move over. You see that soul?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
You see that soul? That's how we cast on skillet.
Yep.
That's how we look.
This is what we supposed
to do. You see these covers?
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Custom done, handmade.
There's,
who got them?
While we talk about
there's
mental
only
health.
One set of them.
Look, while we talking about mental health, we picked up a...
That's all we cook with.
Some people cook with copper and aluminum. Aluminum, the byproduct of getting me your food is fluoride.
Yes.
Fluoride is a mind-altering chemical. Yeah.
What size do you want?
This is what we're supposed to cook in because this is why we are angry fishing. We wasn't angry fishing when we ate at Big Mama House.
Right.
Right.
Talk about
it. Now, witch, the word witch means wise woman.
Okay.
So they gave it a negative connotation by painting her green with a wart on her nose.
Okay,
right. Answering the black, but the black is significant to Big Mama. But Big Mama is the dark mother. She's the only one supposed to wear the black. So all of these things they've been using, they was playing misdirection, baby switch, all these kind games at the same time. And we fell for it. But the cast iron part is critical. We need to go back to cooking in cast iron.
Yes, we do. Yes, we do. You can bake with it. People don't know what they can do with it. And someone put up in here, yeah, it's also used as a defense of.
Yep.
Right. We use it for, it's multi-purpose.
Look.
That cast iron is multi-purpose.
All you got to do is either you can turn the fire on and you can do a lot with it with the fire. Okay, you can boil, you can fry, you can throw whatever up in there. Someone said to make good grits, ask Al about that. Ask
good. A good cornbread, a good whatever you want to throw up in there. You know what I'm saying? Whatever you put in there, it's going to be good.
But be careful when you do the cast iron, because if you cook real good, you might bring energy that might not go home. So be careful.
Right.
You need to see how you cast iron. You got to be right. You got to be right. Not everybody can get something from the cast iron.
Make
that as sacred as other things, too.
When I used to Big Mama started teaching the young girls, 8, 9 years old, how to cook.
Mm-hmm.
They come in the kitchen with an attitude because they didn't want nothing to do with it. She said, huh, you sit your ass there till you straighten up because you can't cook in my kitchen with that attitude.
With that attitude.
We
don't bring that sweat.
We not
around this food, okay? Don't bring that sweat around this food.
We're not knowing that that energy seeps into the food.
Yes.
This
yes.
Is what it's called when we cook our own food and don't nobody else cook it but us. Africans don't cook soul food.
No.
People in the South America don't cook soul food.
Right.
Chinese people don't cook soul food.
I always said, you know, I do not eat everybody cooking, okay? But I always said, well, it wasn't until later. I was like, you know, the reason probably why people food be nasty and it's because they don't cook with love. They don't cook with compassion. They cook because they have to. They cook because they're doing their job, or they cook because they, you know, they just don't have the compassion truly in it. But back in the day when Big Mama cooked, so when even when some of our aunties cook, you know, they and food be so good because when she's brewing it, you know, she's brewing it with love. You know, she's brewing it with compassion. She wants us to have a good meal. You know what I mean? And that's why auntie food, my auntie is one of them, y'all. Shout out to my Aunt Connie. I love, love, love my auntie. But she's the cook of the family. You know, so, yeah, I know exactly what they do. This has been great, guys. This is about 10 more minutes of this one. This is only part one. But I hope you guys enjoyed the conversation. The whole purpose that, you know, a communion with one another, you know what I'm saying? I feel that we have to get back to that. Regardless of whatever happens, set aside differences, doing all that, but the family units have to come back together.
Yeah.
Right. So what the fuck is soul food?
This? What Big Mama left? Before Big Mama got on the airplane, she made some beans for us. I can't even take the credit.
Look, we call it soul food because when Big Mama teach the girls to cook, she say, "You, when you cook, if you don't love the people you cook for, you put bad energy in the food."
Yes. Listen. I'm going to need them to listen. For the people in the back, say it one more time.
So,
one more time.
If you don't love the people you cook for, you put bad energy in the food.
For real. And that's why you cannot, that's why I was taught, you do not eat anybody's food. If the ladies will tell you that I'm a person that if you say come over for Thanksgiving, I'm actually cooking my own Thanksgiving and I'll bring it and I'll give you some.
But see, at Big Mama house, this is like when my mother was on her deathbed, she was laying in the living room. And I'm watching all these sisters that came from different parts of the country in the kitchen cooking together. They had never been in the kitchen before. I see one of them reach like this, another one pass her onion. How the fuck do you know she need onion? I see another one. Look, I'm not bullshitting. One of them pointing at the refrigerator while she mixed something in the bowl, and another sister turned around, look over her shoulder like she got tapped. You see the pointing at the refrigerator, she opened the refrigerator, grabbed the buttermilk out, she pulled something in the cornbread mix. I'm like, how the fuck she knows she needs some? I'm trying to figure this out.
And it's a frequency. It really is a frequency.
Look,
like what you're saying.
Like a well-oiled machine. And then,
yes.
And then I started seeing certain stuff they were doing. I'm like, that's what my mama used to do.
Mm-hmm.
My mama
right.
used to do that. I'm like, mama in here orchestrating all these women to cook together that ain't never cooked together, and all of them know what each other needs. How the hell is she doing that? Is she laying over there catatonic?
You just gave us some jewels right there, because I know that when I first, like, cooking, I love cooking. Everyone knows that that's what I love to do. I love to make juices. That's what I was doing before we got on, and I'm very known for that. And I love being in the kitchen, love cutting up stuff, but I learned to love the environment I was in. Like, that's probably the one time, and that's why a lot of these young women who do not know how to cook, I really feel for them, because I have a 26-year-old that cook a lot of ways better than I do, and I cook real good. And
right.
So when I look at that, I'm like, I look at when I used to teach her, I used to have her at 1.5 years old scrambling her own eggs. At, you know,
right.
She would be at my Nana house in Jersey, and everybody would be like, you got this baby, why you got this baby up here doing this? And I'm like, because she need to learn. But she learned how to love on food and be in an environment where she trusts people. It's when it's time to cook. And that struck me, because that we have to get back that Big Mama moment. We have to get back to, that's a part of my love. When I get in the kitchen with Tanika and we, like, well, she just gets, when I know she's in my kitchen or I'm in her house and she's, I know the love I'm going to get. You know what I'm saying? And that's a beautiful thing. So you touched upon something that's a simple solution that we, you know, maybe we, this is why we have to have conversations.
Right. And then one more thing to add on it before you jump in, Brother Rob, because you talked on this too about the food being one of the sources to the mental health, bringing it all full circle with the chemical imbalances. And so just us understanding too some of these inherited ways of being so that we can start to shift our diet and the energy and our frequency into it, you know what I'm saying, so that we can start manifesting more for ourselves and our children.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so the food, the nutrition, this is why they use the slow cook. Slow cook, it draws a lot of the it breaks down the fibers of the vegetables and stuff, but it also infuses the water, what they call pot liquor, with nutrition.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't have Gerber's. We didn't have Heinz baby food. We didn't have Similac. We did have was pot liquor and cornbread.
And breast milk.
Breast milk. Or we had pot liquor and grits.
Mm-hmm.
They were giving the babies the pot liquor, and the pot liquor was giving them the nutrition, and the nutrition was giving them the real head start.
Come on.
Right, because the nutrients in the food that's intangible is the love of the mother.
Mm-hmm.
This is a whole energy in and of itself.
All right? Mm-hmm.
So you say home is where heart is.
Mm-hmm.
The heart of the home is the kitchen.
Yes,
sir.
The pride of the mother is in the heart of the home.
That's right.
In the pride, it is where all them sisters congregate.
That's right.
Just like lions.
Yeah.
So,
look, wherever we at, you know, that's where the party at.
So,
period.
No, but
it's also the reunion. Because I realized that when my daughter came back home, like last Thursday, I spent a couple of days, and all I did was cook. And I was cooking, and I was, because it made me feel good to know that this baby was like, I got to clean my body out.
Now, let's look at our culture mirroring. In our culture, it is offensive to go to Big Mama house and don't eat if she cooks.
Mm-hmm.
In Italian culture, it's offensive to go to the old lady house and don't eat if she cooks.
Most cultures.
Most of them, the organic cultures around the world, if you cook and you don't eat, that's a form of disrespect.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So
you better eat a few bites.
Mm-hmm.
Even if you ain't gonna eat no full plate.
Yeah, but
once you get a bite,
I'm gonna take something to go. You know, thank you. You know, you better make sure that you are basically showing some reciprocity around that offering.
Yeah.
That's essentially what it is. It's not just that I cook something. If I'm offering you some food, like you said, I'm offering you my love. I'm offering you my energy. I'm offering, you know, the blessings of preparing this nourishment for us to share. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So I get that. I get why that's offensive. Like, don't come over here and I done made all this good food and you don't at least take something home. Like, even if you don't eat it right now, just accept my love. You know,
talking about witches a minute ago. You remember the old picture of the old lady witch cooking on the big black cauldron?
Yes.
That was Big Mama house.
Wow.
That was Big Mama house. Big Mama cooked a couple times a month. Everybody
mm-hmm.
in the village is coming.
Period. Right.
Everybody in the village is coming to Big Mama.
Sunday dinner.
And that's why she needed that big ass cauldron.
And everything was in. She had everything that was needed. And because I study a lot of their mythology, and there's always the vital things were always put in them.
That's what they called. Right. That's why they were calling it potions.
Mm-hmm.
Because all of the vital things that we put in it, we call it seasoning.
Come on.
Mm-hmm.
I got a whole room full of it right here. That's what I do. I call them fail kits.
Yeah.
I just put stuff in my head. I call them fail kits.
There's one seasoning that Big Mama Food always got that makes it taste better than everything else, and that's that L-O-V-E.
Yep.
Right. See that all the kids the same. She's going to cuss them all out the same.
Mm-hmm.
She's going to smack them upside the head the same. She's going to care if it's a little boy. She's going to tell your mama with your feet is straight. She's going to tell your daddy to wash his ass. Don't you come over here with some greasy ass kitchen in my kitchen. Big Mama,
I need to bring up this. We left this stuff on the table.
Whether you like how she delivered or not, that's your problem.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's your problem.
Don't take it personal.
It's not personal.
With the bitter and the sweet.
That's Big Mama. And that's how we able to catch where Big Mama at in anybody's family.
Yeah.
That rude, obnoxious, blatant, and blunt truth that she tells you that you don't want to hear. But when you leave, you're so glad Mama told you. That's it.
Right.
Everybody
right.
that got one is they tribal. They know how to tribe up with us. They know our culture because their culture is similar.
Right.
The ones who don't want to, I don't want to go to that old lady house. Watch that motherfucker. I'm telling you now.
Yeah.
Right.
When the last time you seen your grandmama, I don't fuck with her. What?
Exactly.
What's her?
Exactly.
What y'all learn?
Me and Granny, like, my granny be coming through on the live. So my granny be coming through showing so much love on the live, you know, just giving that OG wisdom. And I was able to feature her in one of my videos. You know, we're a close tribe. And so Blue, I'm not in the Bay Area, but Blue, like I said, bridge builder. We sisters for real, you know, and so her and my grandmother, they have their own relationship. So my granny is everybody's granny, period, you know. And so Blue be over there with Granny, and they be doing their thing. They be FaceTiming me and all that stuff. And Blue be having Granny out here doing, like you said, that's praying divine work. And I'm so grateful for that because that's all she want to do is teach and be able to share this infinite wisdom. And for the past few weeks, we've been putting out a call to our brothers, like, yo, we need to hear y'all voice. We understand that we're powerful as sisters, but we know that it is going to balance of us working together.
Yeah.
And so we've had a couple of different brothers. We've even had some breakdowns on here. We had some breakthroughs on here. So, again, it's very refreshing and just such an honor to be able to now have you here. Right? A few weeks after putting out that call, and then 1 week after saying to people who have been with us for the past 11 weeks, last week, and now 12 weeks. So this is our 12th week of being consistent with having this mental health discussion and not putting the time limit on it. We just like, we don't flow with it and flow with our people and just pour out this love week after week, every Monday, every Friday. We're going to have these hard discussions. So on Monday, we unpack it. On Fridays, we come with the creativity. So our people come in with the poetry. It's very interactive. You know what I mean? And we try to create a space. It's not like a setting like this where we're just talking, but we give a platform for all of our other brothers and sisters to also share as well. So I definitely wanted to put that out there. And this conversation is going to be ongoing. You know, our brother Rod has been on here with us for 2 hours and 36 minutes, so I just got to say that. Like,
love you.
Yo, that's
And we pinned in the Cash App once again.
Yes.
The brother is not asked, he has not asked, not one time. It's already out there in press or whatever, in the cosmos or the computer or whatever. It's already out there, and that's not what he's not promoting anything. He's just giving truth and honoring the system that needs to be established for us to take care of the baby. So at the end of the day, we keep on talking about what we need to do, what we need to do, what we need to do. What we need to do is be responsible on every level of how we're going to really take care of these babies. Instead of talking about systems that aren't going to work or, you know, putting into things that are not giving service to us, you know, we talk about building these other institutions. Well, that's why we brought this brother in
so that we can say, look, we just want to know what our assignment is. There are too many deceivers, and I have to say this, too many deceivers that are out there as you know, that are males, that they're considered male, and they are doing a lot to damage the foundation for the sisters. And we unanimously, as a whole, you know, like our tribe, it was like we pulled this brother into the realm within, it only took hours for everyone to be like, hands up, let's go, this is the truth. Because we've been trying to give people opportunities to jump in and say, look, we're women. We can only give our opinion. And I not one time have encountered, Brother Rod, you coming from a perspective other than your own. And that's why we wanted to have you, so we can show an example of how, what leadership looks like on a male, from a male perspective, can be dominant in leadership on how we are women. We need our brothers. Right, we just decided to put that, you know, we don't need our brothers, but the only way we're going to have our brothers is to support our brothers. Mm-hmm. And our brothers are, they don't have anything. I can be honest with you. As sisters, we communicate with each other. We call each other out. Brothers don't have what we have. And because of that, the only option they have, if they don't have anything, they have death. And that's it. And we have to acknowledge the fact that our brothers are killing themselves at a higher rate because they're not given the opportunity to see that we love them and we love our children. And
all right. I'm going to go ahead and stop it right there. It was just a few seconds. You know, it is just a few seconds.
And what makes you really great is having these wonderful children. And so we have to be, you know, good, you know, but we also need work. And
all right. Excuse me. One sec. All right, so that's a multiple part series, guys. Part two is in the show notes. That was amazing. I love how they ended with the brothers, because men, I feel a lot of times they're treated like secondary when it comes to healing, when it comes to growth. But, you know, that's actually changing. I said a long time ago. I said men are going to truly start to heal, and they're going to start to surpass the women. And it's happening now. Because they say suffering in silence, but a lot of our men, and I did it for a long time, healing in silence, and I still do. Nobody's business. but, you know, healing in silence, I think, is okay. You know, if you hire a professional, that it has to be nobody's business. If you connect with nature as a man, if you, you know, however you connect to the divine as man, I think that that's great. A lot of our men, when it comes to healing, it doesn't get recognized, or it doesn't get any compassion. I know, y'all know, I spiraled when it comes to my healing and when my aspect of me being angry at the woman, when I had to grow through that aspect, I had so much backlash. And a lot of the backlash came from the men, and it's how I treated the woman, although a lot of men feel the same way on a level, but dare not disrespect mother, dare not disrespect the woman, and I get it. But if we do not express our anger, if we do not have any channels or avenues to get out what we really want to say, a lot of men, I'm glad I went through my shit, but a lot of men, I'm talking mad, I'm talking, and I get it, but they lash out at the women in these ways, cunning ways. But if we don't have the real conversation as men about how we truly feel and have a balanced healing aspect, or a balanced healing avenue, guys, it's going to be detrimental to the divine union soul health. All right. So I did my work. Okay. What did I do? I hired professionals. I talked to trees. I got it out. No matter how anyone felt about it, my madness was me trying to get it out. And any man that's healing, you know, however you, you know, not violence, I hope, yet talking to a professional helped me, okay? So I hope you guys got a lot out of this. Most importantly, guys, Enhancing Awareness Radio, again, is one big classroom to kind of spark you to do your own healing avenue, to do your own research, to do your own, you know, spark. So I hope you guys enjoyed this. Please join me every weekend, guys. Shows will be uploaded. Come on at different times now. Seems like that's how it's going. But wow, it's 10 o'clock, my normal time. So anyhow, guys, video credits, again, in the show notes for you guys. So, yeah, I enjoyed this series, all right? I have to do some more series. All right, guys, till next time. Peace.